Good morning and welcome to the New Orleans Imperative, the only radio program that focuses on public education. For those of you all that are listening to us for the first time, we certainly like to welcome to you, as every Monday from 10 to 11 a.m., we talk about the landscape of public education post-Katrina, this very, very unique landscape, supposedly the model for the nation on how to turn urban school districts around and help our failing schools. Of course, most of us know that it's clearly debatable in terms of that alleged turnaround, and there's a lot of evidence to prove that. So those of you all that are transitioning to a computer, you can listen to us online at www.wbok1230am.com. That's www.wbok1230am.com. And this program will also be podcasted on our website at www.theneworleansimperative.org, probably after 2 o'clock today. So you can listen to it at your convenience along with other past radio shows. And this morning we have Miss Luella Givens on the line. Good morning, Luella.
Good morning.
Welcome to the New Orleans Imperative.
Thank you. How are you? I didn't know we were tying in.
I missed my cue, and I hope my producer this morning, I apologize to her.
Okay.
She looks a little bit better than my other producer, and I'm just infatuated by
her. Oh, my goodness.
Look at these.
I'm not touching.
Don't touch it. We got enough stuff to touch today, right?
The old producer might come back.
He'll be back. He's going to talk about me, but that's okay.
In that case, it's all right.
Yeah. He will come back. Well, look, I want to thank you for taking time for your schedule. I know that you're always busy, but particularly since the revelations about the incident at Abramson, and I know that, you know, the speed has picked up tremendously with the kind of issues that you had to deal with. And we dealt with this issue last week with Karen Harper Royal and also Reverend Willie Calhoun. The phones went out, and we couldn't get any calls, and so we wanted to revisit this issue. And I announced last week that we would, and I'm glad that we did, because since last Monday, more information has come out, and we have gotten a little bit deeper into this Abramson stuff. Incidentally, and I need to tell the listening audience, which reflects some of the complaints that we've been hearing about charter schools for the last 4 or 5 years. Abramson is just out in the public now because the Times-Picayune is printing it, but it is not, it's not all nothing new, and it's not anything that is surprising. So I think one of the things we want to get straight, Luella, is that for the parents of Abramson, could you give us an update? Gerard kind of mentioned on the air that some people are concerned of what's going to happen to those kids, and I know that decision has changed a couple of times since last week. What's going on exactly with those students that are there since allegedly the charter is pulled, and maybe you can update us on that too.
Well, first of all, Renaud, I always want to thank you for the support that you give. People in the listening audience don't know that being a friend of mine is sometimes a hazard, health hazard, because I'll call you at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning when something comes up. Dr. Sanders is always there to talk to and listen as I try to figure out myself where we are, because some of the things that happen are just absolutely mind-boggling to me. And to the parents of children at Abramson, I first of all want to say that I am outraged at the manner in which this has been handled. I have been asking the board to call an emergency meeting to be held here in New Orleans to discuss the situation and policies and where we are publicly so that parents will understand what's going on or just know what's going on. I have now decided that I'm not going to continue fighting over semantics with the board president as to what should be in a letter for a called board meeting, because I would think that if someone represents 475,000 people and says that we are in crisis, that should be enough for her to call. I have polled the board, and I have 6 votes that favor having this meeting, and I'm still getting resistance from the board president. So now I am asking the chairmen, and there are 2, of the Recovery School District Committee, or the committee that oversees the Recovery School District, to have a committee meeting, because that will only require the attendance of 3 of the 5 members of the committee. And again, I want everyone to understand that I believe this should have been held the first week that the story broke, just to keep the parents assured that we are on top of the situation. Now, having made that statement, let me say this. There is no policy or law in the state of Louisiana that allows anybody other than the Louisiana State Board of Elementary and Secondary Education to revoke a charter. I want to say it again. Only Bessie can revoke a charter. And, Renard, you know I'm a teacher. And the first thing they tell you in teaching is to be able to say things three ways. Nobody can take that charter until the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education says it is to be revoked.
So, in actuality, what we happened, not this past weekend, but the previous weekend, the previous Friday, I think it was, on Friday afternoon, the notice went out of the allegations publicly. No one knew about that about 3:30 or 4:30.
Right.
By 7:30 that Friday night, there was a press release from the Department of Ed where Penny Daskew, who's the president, basically said that they were taking the charter. Is that the timeline in the way it happened, or did it occur that Saturday?
No, let's back up a minute. On Wednesday, I got a call from the Bessie office saying that Mr. Andrew Vanacore of the Times-Picayune wanted to talk to me about an article he was writing.
Okay.
On Thursday, I spoke with Mr. Vanacore, who told me that he had made a public records request of the Department of Education, and he wanted me to respond to some of the things that he had received in his request.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had the conversation, and I asked him to send me electronically the materials from the request.
Mm-hmm.
After reviewing the materials, I sent copies to all of the board members, as well as to the Bessie office, and also to several other people to review, to tell me what their general impressions were. The article was scheduled, we thought, to appear in the paper on Saturday, but it may have been Wednesday or Thursday, because the first article, I believe, it came out on Friday. Is that right? Electronically?
Yeah, it came out Friday electronically, yeah.
Well, in the article, as we now know, it is said that there were several incidences at Abramson that were a serious nature. One had to do with an alleged rape of a child there, and then there were some allegations that children were sitting in classrooms without teachers, that teachers were poorly qualified, and so on. And it was a little laundry list. Well, it was sensationalism, I think, at that point, because then the department said, well, we're going to close the school. But you have to go a little bit deeper than that, because you can't just decide to close the school. You have to have some due process hearings before that can happen. Well, it turns out that what was discovered was that about 18 months ago, a program evaluator went into this school as part of a routine observation and made a report to the State Department of Education concerning irregularities in the school, and his recommendation was that the school should be either the charter should be taken away, or the school should be placed on probation and give the people on the board a chance, on that board a chance to make some corrective actions. This report was filed with the Department of Education.
Unbeknownst to the board at
I haven't gotten to that part yet. Thank you very much.
Okay, we got to say things at least three times. Let's go
right
ahead.
All right, let me say it again. The report was filed with the Department of Education in the Office of Charter School Administration at that time. Someone in that department decided that it was not necessary to bring the information to the Board of Education, so that when we moved on whether or not to expand the grade configuration of this school and whether or not to give them an additional year to resolve some of the incidences that had been reported, we were not known of the full extent of the deficiencies that were found within the school. So Bessie made a decision to give them K-12 as well as extend their charter for a year to allow them to satisfy some other deficiencies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, again, Bessie made a decision with incomplete information because someone in the Department of Education decided to withhold that information.
Well, you know what is so sad about this situation is the fact that, you know, based on your, you know, and you've mentioned this not only in this incident with Abramson, but with other incidents in terms of contracts that, you know, information is not vetted at the Bessie board like it should properly be vetted as it relates to the operation of a school district. And that is the reason why we need local control by the duly elected board, where information is vetted, transparency and openness is there. There's no way in the world that this kind of incident could happen with a local board. So we can sit here and brag about how this school district is a model and do this great PR spin with all of these resources and stuff, but just basic transparency. So the same issues that the same reasons that people say that the New Orleans school board should have been taken over in terms of not being closed and contracts and this going on and those things going on. This particular situation that we have now is the same kind of lack of transparency, if not even worse. And we have, and the school district has become the same monster that they said that they were going to replace that wasn't working well.
And that is the broad issue. That is the broad overarching issue, and I'd like to get to that in a moment, but I just want to focus on the fact that had the right organizational spirit existed throughout the infrastructure that oversees these schools, if the folks who were responsible for putting all of these charters in place had begun with a system in place for evaluation and report that oversaw the charter schools like they see the other schools, we might not have come to this place. Now, wait a minute, and let me say, let me clarify what I mean by that. I mean that if you evaluate charter schools and you find that they are not satisfying their reporting requirements, their legal reporting requirements, and you feel that you don't need to report that to the State Board of Education, what makes you think these people would have reported this to a local board of education?
Well, because there's no environment where there's any accountability. And the problem is that what we have done, we have structured an environment where there's autonomy without accountability.
Well, and then you have people who feel that they can operate with impunity because no one is going to make them do it the right way. And then that's where I fall.
And that is the problem from the beginning. You know, and all of the and there's a lot of rumors out here about, you know, who created this and who did this. Well, you know, the self-pronounced and architect of this is Leslie Jacobs, Cecil Picard, and those folks.
That's right.
Those are the folks that created this. Those are the folks. And that are still bragging. Today about how great it is. And has convinced the public and fooled the public that everything is working so well. But basically what they have done is that they have created probably one of the most corrupt school districts in the history of the state of Louisiana.
I think that time, Dr. Sanders is going to tell the tale. And I think that in time, all of those things that we have been accused of sensationalizing and nitpicking and wanting to micromanage charter schools is going to prove to be a fallacy. Everybody needs to have a set of rules and standards, and everybody needs to play by the same rules.
Well, you can't take public money and not be accountable, period.
Absolutely not.
Period. You can't do that. You know, a lot of that information came out in the teacher's trial. You know, in a teacher's trial, which lasted about 6 weeks, and, you know, the judge is supposed to make a decision, Judge Ethel Sims Julian, I think around the end of August. It all came out, and it all came out on who exactly were the culprits of this. And the culprits of this were people in Baton Rouge.
Absolutely.
You know, and we need to be very, very clear about that. We have our first caller. who is Karen Harper-Rowland. We're going to take her right quick. Then I want to get, I have the actual reports that the evaluator wrote last year, the information that you didn't get that we need to share with to the public. And these are the kinds of things that we've been hearing on, not just at Abramson, but at other schools too. Good morning, Karen. Welcome to New Orleans Imperative.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Ms. Givens.
Good morning, Mrs. Royal.
You brought up something that I was thinking about in terms of when you said that only the Bessie Board can revoke a charter. And when Abramson was placed on suspension, I was wondering if that was part of the charter revocation process. It just wasn't what I remembered reading.
Well, Karen, let me say this to you, too. There is no suspension process. There is no legal animal, legal creation that says you can suspend a charter school. And that is why I'm saying the board should have been here or sent the committee here to clarify what the course of action would be.
Now,
legally,
this leads to my
you cannot suspend operations of a charter school.
My next question is, and I've been telling this to the parents, that to my understanding, there is no legal process that the State Department of Education can simply put in somebody else to run the school. I mean, it has to go through the revocation process, and
Absolutely.
Then even the new charter has to go through the Bessie Board.
I'm having this discussion this morning about another school as well. You cannot just take these people's charter, all right? And a process has to be put in place to determine whether revocation is the necessary action.
You know what is so sad about this is that we're closing direct-run schools every day. For really little or no allegations like what's been the allegations against Abramson without a process in place. None of this has a process. It's all illegal.
I looked at some test scores from 2004-2005 for schools like Gene Gordon. Gene Gordon went into the Recovery School District with an SPS score of 85.
Oh, my God.
Right? 85. But the Recovery School District chose not to reopen Gene Gordon.
Same thing with Parkview.
Same thing with Marshall.
I'm going down the list, Karen.
I mean, same thing with Martin Luther King.
No. These were above Martin Luther King was at 81. Parkview and Gene Gordon had SPS scores of 85. Yet neither of those schools ever opened again once the RSD was established.
We would have been better off getting those staff together and reopening those schools on alternate campuses than this mess we have gotten into now.
No, but we fired those teachers and principals because they were at failing schools. We fired all of them
because we
said they were at failing schools.
Who have SPS scores that are 53. Now, we say, 60 is all right. But the bar has raised, and now it's 65. So if you're in a school, parents between 60 and 64.9, it's about to be a failing school again under the new standards because it's not keeping up with the changing requirements. I also want to say that according to what I'm reading about the reports, and Dr. Sanders, I had to ask you about that. The only thing that we can look at is that the school had a reasonable methodology or plan in place to prevent these incidences from occurring. We can work 24 hours a day, but if there's somebody that wants to break a rule, he or she will find a way. And that goes to the sexual misconduct. But once you have that allegation, your first obligation is to, or once you have an incident, your first obligation is to call the police. Once the police are called, then you file a report with your immediate supervisor. In this case, the principal would have called the police and reported it to the charter school board. The charter school board would have then monitored the situation, come up with a corrective action plan so that when the evaluation team from the state appeared on the scene, they had, if they had addressed the issue and were seeking to remediate those circumstances, that's what the law requires them to do. That does not become a ground for revocation. Now, if they were remiss in their policy or implementation of the policy, that's a ground for revocation.
Ms. Gibbons, let me ask you a question. I'm going to hang up.
Just because the incidents occurred, you know, you've got incidents going on in these schools that you don't even hear about because they're following the policies.
Does this mean our policies are really too weak? Because, I mean, what happened, what is alleged to have happened with Abramson is very serious as far as I'm concerned. But from what you're describing, it would be almost impossible, really, to revoke the charter. And
no, that's not what I said, Karen. That's not what I said at all. I said that there is a reasonable standard of security that must be in place. I'm saying that if the security standards are in place and properly implemented, and a breach of that security occurs, you go back and reexamine your process, and you look for ways in which to improve that process, okay? If that charter school did this, if they made the reports to the law as they were required, we don't know what the result of the police investigation was to say whether or not the allegation is true. You don't have that information. So we need to know what happened next. You have someone that says, I was sexually assaulted. What happened when the police came in and investigated? Was it true? Did the school did everything it should have done to prevent it? And then after it happened, did they go back to make sure they put stronger rules and regulations in place and are implementing those? Those are the questions. All right?
If you were not able to get the board to have an emergency meeting, would it help?
It would have helped to have had an emergency meeting, and that is what I have been asking for. The board needed to come down and say, these are the rules and regulations that we have to investigate.
If one of the parents involved in this situation made a written request to the BSEE board for an emergency meeting, would that help to make that meeting happen?
I think you should. And as I told Renaud when I began, I have 6 board members who have supported us in support of the idea, and the president still won't call it.
You know, it's very, very clear that the BSEE board.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's very clear that the BSEE board, particularly the leadership of the BSEE board, is remiss in its responsibility to New Orleans as serving as the board of the Recovery School District.
Absolutely, I agree.
To ignore this situation, that is the crux of the problem, and that's what people have been saying all along. You cannot have a board that's out of town, that is not the duly elected board, that is not representative of this community,
What I said was that if you had a board with the right spirit and intent, it might still work. But what I'm saying to you, I'm not even addressing that issue. I'm talking about this board and its attitude toward the city of New Orleans and its children.
That's why we have to have local control, that's a whole other issue.
But this board needs to be held accountable for its failure to act.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Don't let's not go to the other issue. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how this board is behaving. This board is remiss in its actions toward the people of this community because they have truly exhibited callousness and disregard for our children, their safety, and the peace of mind of their parents. Now, that's the issue. Let's not get it twisted. You know, I tell you sometimes, you got to do this stepwise. Let's deal with what's on the table.
If the charter schools break the law, we take their charter away.
That's not the issue either.
That's what Paul has said.
I'm sorry?
I said it's not that simple as the Pauls have said many
absolutely.
Times. Absolutely.
It's not that simple.
If they break the law, we take their charter away. If they don't perform, we take their charter away. It really isn't that simple.
It's not just that simple. First of all, we have to know if they broke the law.
Right.
Nobody has told you a law has been broken.
But and that goes back to the fact that the information was not transparent
exactly,
and vetted.
Exactly,
that's what it goes back to, the information. Because you guys,
so that we all know.
You guys were
but
given
some
a risk.
People know, and I'm telling you, I don't know.
Well, but you guys were asked to give them another year, but they didn't tell you all of the information.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
Matter of fact, when you look at Mr. Dunbar, who is the evaluator, if you read the reports that he wrote back as early as April of 2010,
well, let me,
it
let
would
me
appear
just say
to me
you
that that should have floated up.
Renard,
yeah,
we
have another caller.
That's all that was in Mr. Dunbar's report, because a member of the DOE staff was dismissed last week. Because he did not fully comply.
Yeah, so that's the problem. Karen, we got to take another call. I want to thank you for calling in. And
Karen, I'm sorry if I'm yelling, but I am really upset. I want us to focus on what is on the board. Right now, we need to focus on what's happening with the BSEE and what's going on in the Department of Education, because somebody got fired because they didn't bring all the information at the time you requested. Forward when they ask for it.
No problem.
Okay, Karen, thank you for calling. We're going to take Reverend Calhoun right now. Reverend Calhoun, welcome to New Orleans Imperative.
Good morning, doctor. How you doing?
Okay.
Good morning, Reverend Calhoun.
All right, now we need to calm down a little bit, okay?
I'm trying.
All right. My question is, the board president, elected or appointed?
Appointed. And
that's another gender person, right?
Yes, sir.
So that kind of tells this city what's going on with our governor. You mean to tell me we got this type of situation and the governor has not told this lady that the board needs to meet? Something is wrong.
Well,
the board can – I think what's going on here, and just to be very, very clear, the board has said they want to meet.
Absolutely.
Because they want to deal with this issue. And I'm really happy to hear that we got six votes that say they want to meet to deal with something. I'm real happy about that.
To a gender appointee that's the board president has decided, from what I'm understanding, is doing everything she can not to have a meeting.
Absolutely.
That's a problem.
And once again, lack of transparency, lack of openness. Goes back to the original.
Well, I got something else going on here, and as we said last week, there is something wrong with what's going on in Baton Rouge.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Never mind about what ought to be. Let's talk about that. That's broken.
Yes.
It's obviously broken because you got staff members conspiring to keep information from the board, and now you got a board president that is resisting the board's request to meet because she wants the Department of Education to have had a chance to complete its investigation. And my response to that is, why are we asking the fox to watch the hen house?
Well, unless we start trying to tear up some stuff, tear this thing down, we're going to continue to have problems.
At 7 o'clock, I wrote a letter to the chair of the I called the chair of the RSD committee and told him that we have three RSD committee meetings out of the five members who want to have a committee meeting since we can't have a board meeting. You understand? So if I can't get the board here, I can get three people here because we live within driving distance. In fact, one is in Metairie. I'm here, and the chairman is in East Baton Rouge Parish, and Ms. Johnson, that's really four people.
Well, Luella, I truly want to commend you for doing the job that we have elected you to do. And I know the tenacity, I know the dedication that you have. And I don't know if the people really realize how important it is to have somebody that's truly representing us.
Thank you. I really appreciate hearing that, Reverend Calhoun, because it's very upsetting. And I have to go back to what I tell them all the time. See, they could go live in Monroe, Shreveport, out in Lake Charles, and in Thibodaux and Houma. I live here.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Everywhere I went yesterday, somebody came up to me to talk to me about Abramson. That started with church. Okay? a man in tears because his wife died, and he was trying to collect her benefits, and the RSD was blocking him from collecting her last paycheck or whatever it is. But certainly a situation that should not have to be discussed on Sunday afternoon, because he's been everywhere he can. He brought his paperwork to church because he knows I was going to be in church on Sunday.
You can't do that.
And go talk to somebody that doesn't live here.
Well, but you see,
I didn't Mandeville.
Yeah, but you've got a situation here where we have a board that's not responsive to the community, and we have a local agency here, the Recovery School District. You know, they don't listen to the community at all. You know, have a plan for this community that is not inclusive of the community's wishes and wants, and it, you know, that opens up other cans of worms. But it all goes back to this environment that they have established, and this environment is that we're going to say what goes, we're going to do what we want to do, we don't care what you want to do, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and if something happens in these schools and this, that, and the other, we don't necessarily have to hold them accountable with our public money and public buildings.
Let me ask you one question. Given what you know, Luella, is there a way to fix it? Do we need the state legislators? How do we fix what's going on?
Well, the state legislators are not in session, as you know, but they are having their committee meetings, and they are in the process of formulating the legislative agenda for this coming year. And they, the ones that I have spoken with, are of the mind that if the Bessie doesn't fix itself, the legislature will.
Please, please, please.
So what I am suggesting to you, listening audience, is that as this is going to be a campaign year, and I am saying that we need to hold all of our legislative delegation members responsible for setting up a system in which we have no voice, or perpetuating a system that we have no voice. And if somebody does not ask the legislators, why is it that you cannot make these people come here and be accountable to us? And if you can't do that, fix it so that somebody is.
Any other questions, Reverend Calhoun?
Oh, I got that's it, Doc. I'll speak with you a little later on.
Okay, thank you much.
Thank you, Reverend Calhoun.
Now, I wanna talk a little bit about this environment, Luella, and even though there's a lot of gray areas here, there's no system in place, there's no process in place, and that is because we went and we rushed to put this in, this great model that, and particularly our board, I think the president of the Bessie Board, I think on Friday, Senator Ed Murray asked for a legislative audit of some charter schools. And then she mentioned in the same article, well, you know, you got to be careful because we the model, you know.
I don't care about the model.
But you understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying.
Be the best model.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, but, I do.
But this is the model that they are perpetrating out here, just putting out across the country as the best. And it is a great PR spin. But there's an unlevel playing field here. And let's throw the Abramson stuff out in terms of the issues, the ideological issues. There's a model in place where there is no accountability with the charters, and there's tons of maybe too much accountability with the other schools. So therefore, the direct run schools are at a disadvantage on all fronts. Now, I'm going to read a couple of things from that you didn't get a chance to hear. Ms. Givens, last, and you and the Bessie Board last September, regards to extending the Abramson Charter, just saying that they had a problem with special education. But with a duly elected board, and I think that's what we're going back to, and with a local board, or with a board that is concerned, a board that is responsive, they would have heard very clearly some of these things that would have gone up in a report to a board member, a committee, or whatever. And Mr. Farwell made a visit at some point before May the 6th. It was an announced visit. And when he got there, they were told that the students were going on a field trip and that the students wouldn't be there. When he questions the students say they did not know they were going on a field trip until that morning. And that particular day, they went to went to the University of New Orleans into a baseball game. So it's clearly obvious that at that school that morning. The leadership of that school was avoiding this visit. The first report goes out.
Hold on, Reverend Sanders, I'm not going to draw that conclusion.
Well, let me finish, okay?
All right,
let me finish the report, okay?
The administration clearly did anything, because what somebody said happened.
Yeah. The report goes
up. That's really Mr. Falwell's report. I have seen it lately. But
all right, well, let's just go with it then, okay?
All right.
The report goes on to talk about this one special education teacher for K to 11th grade. And it also goes on to mention the communication problems between teachers, lack of industrial.
K to 11, that's a problem.
Yeah, the lack of instructional supplies, student data not accurate. Student grades given arbitrarily. Board meetings do not take place or announced at the last minutes. Turkish teachers are given special treatment. Many teachers seem to be underqualified. And it goes on to several other things. And the last thing he says that in regard to a file up, I suggest that we conduct an in-house financial audit of the school. So there were some reports that were coming up below you, probably at the middle management level in the Department of Education. Also, you know, it has also been revealed that the travel budget for this school, Abramson, was over $1 million for one particular calendar year.
Where did he go?
That's a good question. $1 million in travel. That was a travel budget for the 2009, 2010, or 2008, 2009 school year. So we have a lot of issues that were brought up to the somewhere in the Louisiana Department of Education where it should have been made aware to the board that we've got some serious issues here, even if it was just to the RSD committee.
All right, you ready?
You know, so I think that we've got a problem with a lack of accountability. But not only do we hear these kind of allegations with Abramson, but we hear these kinds of reports that's coming from other schools where teachers are scared to talk and those kinds of things, right? We've got to deal with this whole accountability issue and have something in place to ensure that quality instruction and quality leadership is going on at all schools and not just certain schools.
All right, let me respond to this because it's going to kill me if I don't. All right, Falwell Dunbar made this report.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step in an accountability process, right? This man made this report to somebody at a level above his and made a recommendation. Right. What we need to know is what happened next.
We don't know that.
We don't know what happened next. Well, we know. Yeah, we do know it didn't come to Bessie. But we don't know what happened internally. So the problem is not in the audit process. The problem is what happens after the report is made. If you've got a guy out here who, and I think he's in a team of seven. He won by himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He was the leader of the team. So six or seven people worked on the review of this school, and this is what they came up. Now, number one, that K-11 one special ed teacher, you know that's a problem because we are now in a working on a consent decree, right, with the Justice Department investigating alleged violations of civil rights of special education teachers, students in the schools in Orleans Parish, most especially in charter schools. So that is definitely something the Bessie needed to know about. Because if nothing else, we need to be sure that we are no longer violating the rights of special education children. So if you're asking me what would that have meant in terms of our decision-making process, we would have definitely asked for a corrective action plan in this regard with strenuous monitoring to make sure that the plan was being implemented. Number two. You said that the teachers were operating without supplies. That may also have been a budgetary item because we needed to know how much money in the school was being allocated for supplies. We don't know what the funding for Abramson was off the top of our heads, Dr. Sanders. We don't know how much money went into the school. Now, I have had a situation when you come to that number 10, the number 9 item, where you said the travel budget was in excess of $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
when I asked, you remember a few years ago, Langston Hughes had a situation, Langston Hughes Charter, where $675,000 was misappropriated allegedly by one accountant?
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, how did a single school function losing that much money? And I was told that if the school had raised private funds, that we could not look at it because it wasn't public money and therefore it was none of my business?
Totally wrong.
Right?
Totally wrong.
So when you tell me this school spent $1 million on travel, I want to know who went and where they went and why they went. And number two, I want to know how much money went into this school that $1 million could go on travel and the school still function.
And, you know, the scores are not busting at
the seams.
I'm not
at scores
yet. You know, but my only point is, let's get back to the other issue, which is a critical issue in this whole thing of accountability, right? We cannot allow schools to open in public buildings using public money and then raise money, and then we not know where the money goes.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
We cannot do that. We cannot let a private board $4 million from the MFP, and they raise another $8 million, you know, and then we don't know where, because they could very well be doing supplanting, and you can't do that. You know, that's against the law.
All true. Let's go down your list, though. Let's go to 3 and 4, subjective grading and the data. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That is something that we really need to have someone in the testing department examine the grading process and the support that teachers are required to submit to justify their grades. Okay. That would have been important to us. I want to get to number 6. I said it was really subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said that Turkish teachers were receiving special treatment. We really needed to look at what instances brought forth those allegations.
Needed to be investigated further.
All right, number 7, qualifications. If you tell me that people in this school are unqualified because they are of Turkish descent, I'm going to tell you that that's discriminatory. Okay?
Which we don't know what he meant.
Which
we don't know.
It is discriminatory to say because someone is from Turkey, they can't teach in a public school in the United States. Now, what I will also say is that if these people are telling you that because they are Turkish, they're unqualified, and that's all they're telling you, I would tell them then go explain to me why you are bringing teachers in from the Philippines who speak English with as much difficulty as they are telling me the Turkish teachers do.
Yeah, we need to take a call. Right. Let's take Lance Hill.
All right, take Lance Hill.
Hello. Lance, welcome to New Orleans Imperative. How you doing?
Good morning, Dr. Hill.
Yeah, I have a question. This is not the first test cheating scandal that I have heard of. I was told directly about a major incident in which a school had the teachers reading the scores to the students. This was investigated back in 2007, and I think a teacher was actually fired as a result of that. The students were interviewed, they were retested. And so my question to Llewellyn is, was this or any other incident of this kind of organized cheating in a charter school reported to BSEE in the last 5 years? And second, do you have the power to request copies of those reports? Because I know a report was filed specifically on this school. And do you have the power to request that and to air those in your subcommittee hearing?
Let me go back to say that we did receive notice of, I believe, two schools last year where cheating was alleged. One of them, I think you all will remember, was Carver School.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
we know that because the principal was fired. You remember?
Yeah, I remember. That hit the paper.
That hit the paper. And that is why I know about it. I had to set it up that way so that I could tell you that it wasn't that we got a report first. We got a newspaper article first. And so, Dr. Hill, if you have some other things that you were if you could give me some specifics I can tell you that we probably know about it because it was first in the paper, and therefore the department was forced to respond.
Yeah, this was never reported in the newspaper because I reported it to the newspaper, and they never reported it either.
Regularities? I don't think that's happening because you will remember, and I think you did an article about it. In fact, I know you did an article about it where you talked about the probability of test scores being raised by certain percentages as being improbable. Not impossible, improbable. And you know in statistics, you talk about probabilities. Things can be possible, improbable, possible, probable, improbable, or impossible. Okay? So we have had situations where the department has looked at things that it felt were improbable, but it has never looked at any of these charter schools to say whether or not the gains that they report are statistically possible, probable, impossible, or improbable.
So Dr. Hill, the incident that you're talking about is not the Carver situation, and it didn't hit the newspaper, correct?
No, it was specifically an incident in which the teacher verbally gave the answers to the students. The scores came back extraordinarily high, which red flagged the school, and there was full investigation, interviews of the students. The students were retested, and the teacher was fired. Now, this wasn't reported in any of the local media, although I passed on that story to the media. But my question is, can you do you have the right, Llewellyn, as a board member or as a committee member, to request from the Department of Education the summary report of that incident in the same way that the Abramson report was released to the Times-Picayune by way of Public Records Act? Do you have the legal authority just to write the Department of Education and say, since we run the schools, we would like all copies of the investigative report with respect to this?
Let me say this to you. Yes, I do. But I will also say this to you. We have had to threaten to make public records requests to get information from the Department of Education. They have resisted.
But that is so totally ridiculous. And, you know, and I'm not saying you
got to
understand.
Totally ridiculous.
Because the board has to make a records request to the agency that they, by law, supervises to get information.
Again,
what kind of madness is this?
Lyndon Johnson, for example, has said, and so have I, if I have to ask for this one more time, you know I know how to make a public records request. Does it have to come to this?
So Lance, I think that answers your question.
The
problem
question
that we have.
Thanks very much, Llewellyn.
Yeah.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, that is God. I mean, that's really, really ridiculous. For those of you all that are, let's do a little housekeeping. Luella, let's do a little housekeeping. For those of you all that are listening, we're listening to Miss Luella Givens, the BESSE board member, our BESSE board member from New Orleans, and we're talking about not just the situation at Abramson, but just the whole accountability issues as it relates to charter schools, non-charter schools, lack of transparency. If you wish to call in, you can call in at 504-260-9265. That's 504-260-9265. Yes, go ahead, Luella. I'm sorry.
It's just, we talk about this a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I think that people will begin to understand the level of frustration once they understand how, because they always say, well, what are you doing about it? We're doing everything we can, but when you don't control the vote, you can ask anything you want to. So that is why we have to go to the legislature.
Yes, it's definitely a legislative act. We have Veronica on line one. Let's take Veronica. Good morning, Veronica. Welcome to New Orleans Imperative.
Good morning. I'm glad to hear that we're having this conversation this morning regarding education. I think that this is fundamentally the basis of trying to ameliorate city and the state that we're in. It's equally important to say that it's really disappointing to hear that, you know, well after the school system was taken over, we are still manifesting problems here. we didn't see where Jefferson, St. Tammany, and especially St. Bernard, that was, St. Bernard was completely desecrated, and their school system wasn't taken over, although there wasn't maybe the flare of similarities and problems that was occurring at that time. Their staff was remained intact, and as you all know, that the federal government provided means to keep the New Orleans teachers in place. The reason I'm calling this one, as I indicated, is, again, you know, we've seen that these things are continuing to surface, and even though the charter systems have been put into place, there aren't any regulatory means to keep things the public abreast. Ms. Luella, as you indicated, you were not made abreast aware of the situation at hand at Abramson. So, again, with that one situation, what are some other things that we don't know that we haven't uncovered that should be investigated with these charter schools?
Hold on, Veronica. Let me lock Ms. Luella in because she got sidetracked a little bit. Luella, you there now?
I missed the first part of your remarks, but I did catch the end of that. The question becomes, how do you galvanize a community when so many of the members of the community are misinformed about just what is really going on in the school system? You know, there are parents who believe that because their children are in one school or the other, it's not their issue. And one of the things that we're learning from those parents who last year, Dr. Sanders, if you will, were openly critical of other parents who had not made the choices to put their children in charter schools, they're now starting to realize that they're becoming second-class citizens because their schools are not being placed in these beautiful new edifices that are being built all over the city. Their schools can't grow because their charter schools have capped enrollment, and they are not among the chosen few that are allowed to open new schools. So we first have to unite as a community and understand that it is in our best interest and in the general best interest of our children if we work together and stop becoming isolated little pockets of self-righteousness for the betterment of all children. Because my children go to XYZ school, I can't afford to think I'm better than you. I need to work with you to make sure your children are in a school that's as good as the school that my children are in. But that's not happening. So until we can get our community galvanized around the idea that we're all in this together, as long as they can divide us and make us think there's something special about what we're doing and don't worry about those people over there, we're going to continue to have these problems.
Okay, Veronica, any other questions?
Yes, I wanted to add, too, that I think that she was right in saying that the community needs more involvement, especially the parents. I think collaboratively they should work hand-in-hand with the legislature individuals to change these laws so that we can have equity across the board here. Again, there was no oversight. Again, when you look at the situation with the special education students, who else are they discriminating against? How is it that we have a group of individuals like this school to come in our community and be employed when you have had a number of teachers who were fired unjustly? And the other thing that I'd like to understand, I have a better understanding, is that if you have representation on the board for various communities, how is it, or what do you do to investigate these things if, in fact, the individuals who have been charged with bringing forth this information did not do their job? So what I'm asking you, Ms. Givens, being that the information wasn't brought forth to you, how is it that you can know this information and make sure that those individuals under you are doing their job? What are some earmarks that you can best let the community know since you're representing New Orleans?
We're gonna let you go, Veronica, and we're gonna have Ms. Givens answer that because we got to go to the next call, but she's gonna answer it right now. Okay,
all right,
Veronica.
Let me answer that.
Okay.
Question, and we need to give Veronica's information because Veronica is asking some very good questions there.
Yeah, well, maybe she'll call back in and leave her number.
Please ask her to call Veronica, call back and leave your information with the producer because you're asking really good questions, and we need to get her to some community meetings and perhaps get her more engaged. The first thing that charter school parents need to do is to demand that the charter boards include as voting members representatives of the parental community and the general New Orleans community itself. We have boards that, and that's one of the problems with the Abramson Board. The Abramson Board is primarily located in Baton Rouge, okay? And their meetings, when you hear the meetings, are not properly announced, it's because they don't announce them here. They not announce them in Baton Rouge. So the people in the local community never get a chance to attend their meetings. They're not the only ones. We've got to open up membership on these charter school boards so that people are representative of the local community, which makes them more accountable to the parents. And also it would facilitate the flow of information, because if you are the charter school board and you got a problem and you don't see any solution forthcoming, then you're more likely to ask your bestie member, well, what did y'all do about XYZ? You know, we can't get thus and so done in the school because you guys are not responding to our requests, our problems, and so forth. The first thing we've got to do is we've got to make these boards more open to the general public so that parents and the community knows what's going on in the charter schools.
We got Mike online, too. Let's take Mike. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Law's Imperative.
I'll try to make it real quick while
sure.
I'm parked out outside in this storm and rain.
Okay.
Look, this is what I want to say, Ms. Givens. What you touched on is very, very important about everybody, every African-American in the city of New Orleans better realize they got some skin in the game when it comes to these schools. Because I could easily sit back and say, well, I have my children in parochial school, which I did for high school, and say, I don't care because I still have one left. And they went to Lake Forest Charter, and they're doing great, and I don't care. But I never forget their father, who was once a boy going to school on Higgins Boulevard, and left us all not forget those types of situations, because those are the masses of kids who are in our school system. And, you know, we have people in the legislature. We have people, you know, who've passed bills in the legislature, namely Ms. Carter Peterson, and it was sustained by Ms. DuPlessis. And those people have done more to hurt us because they did the bidding for people who don't send their kids to the system, who don't give a darn about the system, and just use it to, as a pimp game to make money. And that's basically what has happened to the school system. When African Americans were on the school board, everybody was concerned about who were letting the contracts and who the contracts were being let to. Now we don't know where they're going, and the newspaper nor the television stations even ask those questions. So that's what this is about. It's about money, and it's not about improvement, because the school that I went to high school with on Higgins Boulevard was just tore down a few months ago. Kids are still in trailers. It's 6 months post. 6 years post-Katrina, and nobody gives a darn about them. Okay, that's all I have.
Well, okay, Mike, thank you for calling.
I happen to know the school on Higgins, and I want to tell you that I've had so many fights about that school that is just too numerous to mention. Of course, it never makes the time speaking to you, because you cannot tell me why we haven't broken ground to rebuild Carver Senior High School.
Well, you know, when we go through school by school.
When we go to these facilities, I'm going to invite him to come to the facilities meeting. Let me check my calendar to tell him what day the meeting is going to be to discuss Carver High School, because it's one of these days this week. I think it's going to be covered on Thursday at 6 o'clock at Schaumburg Elementary School at 9501 Grant School Street. I'm sorry. Again, we're going to be talking about that high school on Higgins at 6 o'clock on the 28th, that's this coming Thursday, at 9501 Grant Street at Schaumburg Elementary. And I think it's important that the alumni of these schools understand that if we don't put our voices into the master plan facilities, Carver High School will never reopen.
Yeah, it's very important that you attend that meeting, Mike, and everyone else, you need to attend those meetings. We also need to keep abreast of this whole situation. We need to close out, Llewellyn. And I want to thank you. I know you're going to be back on the air probably next month. I will not be here next week, but but we will be returning on August the 8th. Thanks a million, Luella.
Without you next week.
But anyway, we would like to thank you for listening to New Orleans Imperative. We certainly would like to thank our sponsors, the Fallbrook St. Rock Improvement Association, Metro Disposal, Richards Disposal, and the Wisdom Reception Center. And once again, this program will be podcasted on our website, theneworleansimperative.org. That's one word, lowercase, theneworleansimperative.org. We'll be returning on August the 8th. Next week, I'll be in Washington to Save Our Schools March and be bringing back other information. And hopefully we'll be able to close out some of these issues around Abramson and try to move this situation forward where we have some equity and excellence in this system post-Katrina, which seems to be something very difficult to do. Thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you, see you again on the 8th. Have a great one.